WBYT. It's been 1 week since you heard from us. Something. We're episode 18 of Radio BYT. Fun fact about 18, we are now legally able to vote. That's what happens at 18.
Oh, okay.
That's an age joke.
Oh, you know. Happy Father's Day.
Time stamping it right off the bat. Okay. Anything you want to get off your mind? Thoughts? Assumptions? Aspirations?
I have no aspirations today.
Great. Okay. Keen Avengers fans, they do have aspirations. Remember the cabin in
Avengers Endgame,
that movie that messed with me for a while. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember the cabin for Tony Stark in Avengers Endgame? That has been found on Airbnb.
Yes, it has.
You can stay it there. You can stay there.
You can stay out there.
Yeah, well, you know. It is a lakeside cabin. It is equipped with free parking.
Nice.
Major bonus. Wi-Fi and an indoor fireplace.
Ooh.
Four.
Dun, dun, dun.
So fun fact, actually, when this was originally found, it was $335 a night. Since then, it has now skyrocketed to over $800 a night.
Holy guacamole.
That's the price of inflation. Would you want to stay there? First of all, it is in Georgia. It is 20 minutes from the airport.
Georgia.
In Fairburn, Georgia.
Would I want to stay there?
Nah, yes.
I don't really care. I'm sure I can find a cheaper cabin elsewhere.
Up here, that doesn't require airfare.
Yes.
I do not want to stay there.
Why?
Because it's not going to look like the one in the movie.
No, it's not.
So I have no reason to stay there. I don't.
Yeah, people are crazy.
That's like the Lizzie Borden bed and breakfast up here. Like, I don't have any reason to stay there either.
No, I definitely would not want to stay there.
Not that anybody's been axe murdered in the cabin or anything like that.
You never know.
Well, maybe. Huh? Just something to think about when you're shelling out $800. Yeah, no, I would have no reason to stay there.
It's not my thing.
$800 a night is crazy.
Yeah, no.
Crazy.
If I'm spending $800 a night, I want to be like waited on hand and foot. Like I'm going to a bougie hotel where like I have a butler.
I don't want a butler.
Yeah, I do.
Hello, can I get you anything?
Yeah, absolutely. A drink. Thank you.
Get me a drink, Joffrey. No, I would not want to stay there. But here's a place that I would want to stay at if it were a place to stay and not a place to eat, if this makes sense.
Where?
The Big Fire Grill at Universal City Walk. It is an American fare restaurant giving American food and atmosphere, very similar to a cabin. It's very laid back. They've got board games. They've got a fire pit outside.
Ooh.
Now, it is not open to the public yet. They did have media previews. It's expected to open later this month.
It looks awesome, actually. It looks really cool.
So I have a couple questions for you. Because you're the...
Was this located? This was the
Emeralds.
Okay.
So you're the food connoisseur here.
Mm-hmm.
It's American fare. It is fried chicken, seafood, burgers, they have homemade crackers and chili, fried green tomatoes.
Mm.
And I think they have like other things, including with the fried green tomatoes. They're making very good use of their fried green tomatoes. They do have bread too that they make.
Yum.
It's all on this giant like wood fire grill, like in the middle of the restaurant, I guess, with three different kinds of wood in it.
Amazing.
So the biggest and most important question is, if you could only choose one kind of wood to cook with for the rest of your life, which would it be?
I can't. You cook with what? Birch?
Yeah.
I think. Teak? Is that another one?
I think you teak wood. Like, I think it's like a stain.
No, I think there's a wood called,
it's like
I don't
antiquing.
Know. I'm not.
It's just shorthand for antiquing.
No, teak is a wood. Like teak furniture. You're a mess. I don't know. I don't cook with wood.
If I had to pick It's a toss up for me between two things. One is driftwood, because I'd want to see what it does, and I feel like it's easily accessible by a wharf or something like that.
Do people cook with driftwood?
Also,
I think you're like
actually a
misinformed.
They don't cook with driftwood. That was a joke. It was a funny joke.
I didn't understand.
Way
it.
Over your head. The second, actually, one that has now crept. There's a third. The third one that's crept in, and I'll get back to the second one. But
cedar. That's the other one.
The third one that's crept in is, you remember last week when we were outside having a fire?
Yeah.
The remnant lattice wood that I feel like that would be perfect, because that gives a big flame. We'd char up in a minute.
It made good s'mores.
It did. And then, do they cook with pine? Can you cook with pine? Because I would want everything to have a pine
flavor.
We're
like really stupid.
Okay.
I just
Googled. Tell me something I don't know.
What's the best wood to cook with? Oak, hickory, maple.
Oh, hickory, yeah.
So
maple.
Birch,
ooh.
I don't know where I pulled birch from, but don't cook with birch. But oak, hickory, and maple are, and mystique. Like the four, like,
mystique.
Best
ooh,
cooking
that's mysterious.
Woods.
I like that wood. What does it taste like?
It's mystiqueable.
It's unmystiqueable.
Sunday vibes.
Yeah, you know. Keeping with the universal trend, because I think we're done with it. Actually, let's get back to the big fire. I'm all over the place. I'll edit it out. No, I won't.
Just kidding.
It's got a fire pit. They have blankets if you want, games that you can play with. I really like the idea of it, especially in the theme park setting, because obviously you're right near two chaotic theme parks. And if you just really want to unwind,
that's a fun,
right,
like,
there.
Chill spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's at Emeralds, so you can people watch like you read about.
Oh, I love that.
I feel like that'd be a great place.
Can you
to go.
Imagine like sitting by the fire under a blanket and just like watching the crazy?
Depends on when it is, because if it's
November, December, like,
yeah,
prime when we enjoy going to Florida.
Yeah. I'm with that plan. I'm with that program. Are you excited to try it?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I got to find a time to try it.
I love it's definitely, in my opinion, like a fall restaurant. So we'll wait to go later on. But, you know, homemade bread turns me on.
Yeah,
so
right?
I'm all there. And they're chili.
Three different types of wood turn me on. Yeah.
What kind of wood do you use in your fire pit?
I'd like a little bit. I guess you can choose, actually. I was going to make fun of it, but I guess you can choose. Like, if you want...
That's
maybe,
why you asked me that question.
I'm not sure. I may have just made that up.
I feel like
but
you
I think,
did.
I feel like I heard that.
You can choose the wood that they cook with.
Yeah, like you just, they put it to a side in the grill. Put it to the side. Put it to the hickory side.
Oh my God.
We don't want any of that cedar over here. Keeping in the universal side, though, I can't even say this ride, but I do love the hashtag. Hagrid's Care of Magical Creature, the Hagrid motorcycle adventure ride.
It has such a long name. It's a really ridiculous.
The new roller coaster that's taken the place of Dueling Dragons at Universal Orlando's Islands of Adventure has officially opened to the public. Before we dive into it, though, the hashtag. They didn't give it to it. Someone did, and it's taken the world by storm. It's hashtag Hagride.
It's better than the full name of the
ride. Seriously. So it offers a new queue pre-show with Hagrid and Arthur Weasley. Fun fact about that is that Robbie, whatever his last name is, the guy that plays Hagrid,
mm-hmm,
has like some health complications. So he actually didn't play Hagrid in the pre-show.
Oh.
He voiced Hagrid, mm-hmm, but they had another person
play him.
Yeah. So it's got that. It's a long sprawling walk. Basically, the dragon challenge walk that they had before, which you don't know because you didn't ride that ride.
No.
It's a new coaster with twists and turns. Everybody's seen it by now. They've got creatures like centaurs, unicorns, Cornish pixies, and more. Are you all right? So we scoured the internet looking for a point of view of the ride, like the whole ride. We found one. You watched it. Are you excited for the ride?
It looks fun. Yeah, I'm excited to ride it.
Is there anything that you saw in the video that we watched that would kind of like say, I don't really want to ride that?
No.
So here's a thing that I heard about it. So they have that piece. It's very similar to Expedition Everest, where there's a track switch and like you kind of lift and, mm-hmm, you go. in it's called a drop track, I believe.
Yep.
Anyway, maybe it's not. That could be wrong. But they have a track switch, right? And in this one, the minute you pass where the switch is, it clicks. It changes. Yeah. So that way when you go up that spike, you immediately go right back down. There's no pause like there is in Expedition Everest.
That's interesting.
So I thought that was interesting. They have the capability, and this will become more important later on in this chat. They have the capability to have 12 trains on the track at a time.
Which is insane to me.
I guess what their goal is to have 8, mm-hmm. which is still, it's very That's good crazy. From a capacity yeah. movement. Yeah.
It's because Everest does what, 3 to 4 max? No,
they got to do more than that.
I don't They're bigger think tra- so. No,
they got to do more than that. I don't know. I don't know what Everest is. If someone knows, let me know. But
what's interesting with this roller coaster too, just like Everest, you do go backwards. Yeah. But I think it seems a lot longer than any other roller coaster that's in a theme park. It seems considerably longer.
Well, there's elements of so many different roller coasters in it, because you have like the show scenes like the Mummy has, mm-hmm. but you have the movement of Everest, yep. and you have it, but it, you really don't go that high off the ground.
No, and it has like that side swoops a lot, so that will be interesting to ride.
It's got, the reason why it can have so many trains on the track at one time is because it's got 7 different launches, and with that they have block breaks, so they can have trains that can literally stall
because
on the track.
It stops because they have those scenes.
Yeah.
The animatronic scenes. But that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. And because they have all the launches to like push you, to mm-hmm. propel you, those can also stop you.
Interesting.
So, but the other piece of it too is with those tracks, you know the one in New Jersey at Six Flags in New Jersey where you can go up, but if the wind's like, if it's too windy, you can go right back down. Mm-hmm. That can happen on this ride.
Oh.
And the reason why is because the launches, when you get to them, they like self-calculate the weight of the actual whole vehicle based off the people that are in it and mm-hmm. all that. And if it miscalculates, you're coming back. But it can adjust so that way they don't have to evacuate the whole ride.
Interesting.
I think it's crazy. That really was like, whoa.
The technology is insane.
Yeah. But they've caught a ton of backlash. So the first day, first of all, they're doing virtual queue for it. They haven't started doing the virtual queue for it yet,
and though. This is really new to theme parks.
Yeah,
they've Disney done it. Started it with Dumbo.
Yeah, and Universal did it with Fast and the Furious. Mm-hmm. They do it with Jimmy Fallon, and they kind of do it with their whole Volcano Bay water park.
Yep.
But they're doing that with it. They haven't started it yet, and the reason they're catching a lot of flack for this. So the first day, there was an estimated 10 hour wait. It probably was never really 10 hours, mm-hmm. but
that's what it was posted.
Well, cause you get to the point where they're like, oh, well, they go to like a supervisor. Well, like, what do you want us to put for the wait? Cause they don't really know yet. They're like, oh, just put 10 hours. We'll figure it out later. It was probably really only like 6, mm-hmm. which is still crazy, but they didn't have the virtual queue set up. So the virtual queue is set up so that way when the actual ride queue gets full, they don't, instead of having people scoured throughout Seuss Landing and throughout Port of Entry and all that, they're going to have cut it off. You get the virtual queue. You can go do other stuff and then you can come back. Mm-hmm. Now they're doing it with a little bit of a twist. So you still have to wait for the ride.
Yeah.
So when you get back and it's your virtual queue time, whatever the sign says for the standby wait, you're still waiting that. Mm-hmm. So if it says it's a 2 hour wait in there and you just waited technically 3 hours in the virtual queue, you're still waiting
you're
another
still
2 hours.
You're still waiting another 2.
But you could do other stuff while you're doing
you're
it.
You're not waiting in one line for
exactly
that time.
So they've caught a ton of flack though for one, the not having the virtual queue ready for day one, which from my perspective, they didn't want to have it ready for day one. They wanted the high wait times, the media coverage of that. But for two, they're catching flack now for not running it at full capacity.
They can't. You can't do that. There's no... Okay, people, let's have a little awakening. You can't run a ride at full capacity because you're never going to have enough testers to ride that ride at full capacity. And they're never going to be able to run a ride at full capacity day one because they need to figure out how long is too long to shut this ride back down. Like, they need to work out all the kinks. Because just because it's open now doesn't mean everything is perfect.
So then now
they still adjust things after the ride opens.
So the people's counter argument to what you're saying is based off the fact that the ride wasn't ready to go when it was opened, and that they should have delayed the opening until it was ready to go. And I guess it's bogged down by technical issues because everything is so advanced. We just went through that that one piece of the track, but that also doesn't count up with the fact that there are show scenes. You have to sync up to those show scenes.
I feel like you can't expect perfection on day one. And this goes back to when Harry Potter, Wizarding, the castle opened.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it. Whatever. The castle.
The Forbidden Journey?
Yep. When people started to ride that ride and they realized they didn't make the seats big enough.
Yeah.
So they had to eject all the seats they made and put in new seats to fit bigger passengers. Those are the kinks we're talking about. You can't, until the general public gets on that ride,
right,
they don't know
until you what have the 2 hour
they
wait.
Have to make.
Right.
And unfortunately, that's just the way it is.
So, but the people are saying that they're purposely limiting capacity to expand the wait times when in fact that's not the case. It's just not ready.
Yeah.
To be at eight trains.
It's a process. It's a process.
It's 5 to 6. That's what it is. It's going to be longer waits. It's the summer. The other piece of it is too, they opened this ride in June in Florida where it rains every day and it's an outdoor ride.
Yeah.
So people are going to, they're not only going to be waiting 2 to 3 hours, but there's a high chance that it's going to shut down. Mm-hmm. It's an outdoor ride. And then with that, you have to cycle beforehand. You have to get everything ready to go. I, that being said, I'm extremely excited to ride this ride.
I think it's going to be awesome, and I think people need to calm down.
So,
you need to understand that it's not because Universal doesn't want you to be happy, because they don't want you to stand in one line. They want you to go stand in 12 different lines and spend money in the gift shops at the end of these rides.
Exactly. Like they don't want you in line at all. They want
they want you spending money.
Right.
That's not their ammo.
Now, the other piece of it that people were getting complaining about is because Galaxy's Edge just opened and it was handled fairly well. They were based where Disney basically said, if you don't have a reservation, you're not getting in the land.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one kind of seemed to be chaos. No one really knew. I was reading forums and no one really knew like what time transportation from the hotels were going to start, what time they were going to allow people on the property. And everybody was kind of getting a different answer from anybody that they asked.
Well, I feel like Universal was treating it as, we're opening a new ride, but we're not doing anything special to open this new ride.
Except levitating boxes.
Which was really cool.
That was really cool.
That was neat. But I think they just treated it as a normal park opening and everybody else wanted something extra special.
But I feel like at this point, this is the third time. So while I get that, like this is the third time they've opened a new Harry Potter attraction. Like, you know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know? So but it's not a full land.
It isn't. It's just one ride.
So it's tough because it's not like you're giving them a full land to go into where they can go do other things. Mm-hmm. It's one ride and that's it. So I feel like people need to kind of understand that when they're waiting so long. Would you line up at 5 a.m. though for this?
No.
No, that's a very long time. Like, you think about it, like, I don't want to wait 3 to 4 hours. But if the park doesn't open till 9 and you're there at 6, you're waiting 3 hours.
I feel like we're the type of people, too, that we're okay not doing brand new things right away because they're still going to be there. And I much rather ride something where all the kinks are worked out and it's a seamless, perfect ride than ride something opening day where it's not on point.
People just want to be the first.
And that's great, but you're never really going to be the first.
That's true. I mean, there's hundreds of team members have ridden this thing. Bags of sand have ridden this thing, you know? I don't know. I don't think I would ever wait for that long.
No.
I'm glad that we're going in July because that will give them a month to get it sorted out before I get there.
Yeah. And we'll see. We might not even ride it in July. I'd like to.
Oh, we're riding this thing.
I'm not putting, like, I don't know.
We're riding this thing. It's not going to be that bad by then. They had it down to 2.5 hour waits already. Like, it's
not bad at all.
They figured it out. It's just, you got to get the bodies in, like you were saying. So here's what I want to do. Okay. We have a bunch of stuff on the agenda. I'm going to cut half of it out.
Okay.
Because we went a little bit long on Hagrid's magical creatures and a way longer on Big Fire Grill. So we're going to start, we're just going to dive into some Disney things, keep it ride related, and then we'll dive into food stuff next week.
Sounds good.
Sounds like a plan? Perfect. Rafiki's Planet Watch, remember that?
Yeah.
It's set to reopen. I put this on the agenda because I'm super excited about this.
Love Rafiki's Planet Watch.
I do, but that's not why I'm excited. So they closed in October, mm-hmm. and they were not going to reopen.
Yeah.
It was done. But they've decided to. I don't know if it's... Well, let me ask you, why do you think it's reopening?
People disbursement. It's getting too crowded. Yeah, they need to disperse the crowds. And it's cheap. It's low cost to maintain.
Yeah, the animals.
It doesn't matter. It's still low cost. People but spend money. They feed the sheep or whatever's over there. They pay a character, aka Rafiki, to chill in the pavilion. It's a low cost area.
Yeah. Anyway, so they're set to reopen, but they're also doing new things on it now. And this is what I'm most excited about. So it's the anniversary of the Lion King. I think it's the 20th anniversary,
30th anniversary? It's probably a little bit. We're a little old.
It's something. It's some type of anniversary for the Lion King, plus the new Lion King's coming out. So they're adding a bunch of new stuff Lion King themed.
Oh, cool.
It'll include the animal counters like it used to, and then it's going to have the celebration where you can meet, I believe you'll be able to meet different characters. It's not just going to be Rafiki, but this is what I'm excited about. Do you remember the Art of Animation drawing class in Hollywood Studios that they got rid of? They're bringing it back here.
Oh, cool.
So guests are going to learn how to draw Simba, Pumbaa, Zazu, and Timon, and like more, obviously.
That's a great little feature to add to that pavilion, because there's not much. There's stuff to do there, but there's not tons to do there.
Well, you get all the stuff that was there, like the zoo feel, like where you got the reptiles and all that stuff, and the petting zoo and all that. But I feel like this keeps people in the land.
A little bit longer.
In that area, way
longer
now.
And it's, again, low cost, low maintenance.
Because it's a 7-minute ride there,
yeah,
which makes it a 7-minute ride back, plus the wait. So you're at least there for a half hour. Plus, if you do the class, you're probably there a full hour. Plus, if you do all the other stuff, you could honestly spend a few, two, even three hours if you wanted to really stretch it with the character meet and greets and all that. So,
and full disclosure, guys, if you haven't been over there, it's a really cool place to visit because that's where they do a lot of quote-unquote work on the animals.
Yeah.
Like, you can see procedures being done, vet checkups. So they bring the animals in there, and that's where, like, all the technicians are too. So it's a cool place to kind of check out and see what's going on with the animals that you're seeing in the park.
Agreed. Let's dive in some more Galaxy's Edge, because we haven't talked Galaxy's Edge enough.
Not enough.
So we talked about all the expensive items that you can get in Galaxy's Edge, but then a couple days after we recorded last week's podcast, we went on YouTube and we looked at the whole lightsaber experience. We watched it, and then we watched, like, reviews after people took their lightsabers home.
Yep.
So the total cost of the experience is $200.
So that's buying a real looking lightsaber. And it's actually a very cool experience how you get to, you know, put your lightsaber together. And is it saber or
saber?
I always say saber, like the candy. Lightsaber together. I thought it was a really neat.
It's not a lifesaver. It's a lightsaber.
Well, it could save your life. That's a tongue twister.
Pan, pam. Pan, pam.
Pam, pam, pam. It's a cool experience.
Yeah.
And if you're really into Star Wars, I think you would love it.
So I like the idea that when you go outside, the rebels are out there and they're like hiding from the First Order.
Yeah. So it's set up like a low key, like, like a salvage.
Yeah.
So that's what they're salvagers. So they're very secretive about what they're doing, but you're waiting in line to get your lightsaber.
Yeah. So you're there, and then they go, it's almost like a, hey kid, come over here.
Like, come here.
I got something to show. and then he whips open his trench coat and he's got a bunch of watches. No, he's got like a filing cabinet essentially of all the different styles. And then you can pick there what kind of hilt that you want. And the hilt is the bottom of the lightsaber. And then after that, they give you a pin you go into the show and they start talking about the Jedi and how important they are and how crazy they are. And you can continue the journey and all that. And then because of your pin, they know what kind to give you. They take out like a tray, essentially. Mm-hmm. You get basically two different options for each piece of the hilt.
Yeah.
That you can pick what one you want and you can customize each area the way you want. And then the cast member connects it to the lightsaber after you create it. So they say, I got to test it. And all you, they like test to make sure it makes noises and then they connect it up to the,
it's a whole like theatrical performance. Yeah. I would say in this like really cool chamber, it looks like where everything's like lit up yeah. And they're telling these stories and it's just really cool. And you get to like, it's very hands-on, so you get to pick your options and...
Yep. I forgot the most important part. You pick the color of your kyber crystal.
Which is very cool.
Because if you didn't know, the kyber crystal is the thing. It makes the lightsaber tick. So you can pick... There you can pick red, blue, green...
White, and purple.
You cannot pick white at the place, though. You get red, blue, green, and purple.
Okay.
Oh, your four options. You can buy white and you can buy yellow in stores.
Yep.
What color would you pick? Red, duh, because you're a Sith.
But the cool thing we found out is you can also get a black crystal.
Yeah, they call it the dark stores. Obsidian crystal.
So they only put out a certain number of
12.
A day. 12 a day. 12 a day. All throughout the park. So you can, if you're going to buy a red cyber crystal, it could potentially...
excuse me, it's a kyber crystal?
Oh, whatever. I'm not a Star Wars person, sorry. But if you buy a red one, it could potentially be black if you're lucky, which is really cool, I think. It still shows up red.
Yeah, everything is the same as the lightsaber. Red. So it's almost like they just got a bad batch. I don't know.
No. But the actual crystal is black, so... It's like winning the lottery. You might get a little lucky. I think it's really neat how they do that.
Yeah. No, I think that's cool. And then, so that she'll connect it up, going back to the whole process. You get a bag and then they give you some speech about how you've got to continue. And then everybody lifts up their lightsaber and it looks really cool in the dark.
Yeah.
I wish someone would be able to perfect the ability for the actual saber portion of it to go down though. And not look like the typical plastic ones that we grew up with. Because to me, like if I'm gonna spend a considerable amount of money, and I'm not getting into whether it's worth it or not yet, but if I'm gonna spend a considerable amount of money, I want like the most authentic feel possible. And I don't wanna have to like be in pitch black to make it authentic, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't think that's ever gonna be possible without damaging something.
I don't know.
Maybe it will, maybe it won't. So they give you a bag that you take it home in, and there you go. That's the whole process of...
I wonder how people are getting these home, though, because most people fly to and from Florida, and I don't think a lightsaber is considered a legal carry-on.
You probably have to stow it, right? Maybe you can bring the hilt. Maybe you bring... I don't know.
Have to stow it. But I would be nervous that if I had to... put it underneath a plane, it would break.
I wonder if, because the saber portion of it detaches from the hilt, I wonder if when you detach that, if that's like suitcase sized, that you can fit it in a suitcase.
Maybe. But the actual case seems really large. And I would be hesitant after spending all that money on something that the actual saber portion would break.
So that's my question, because... I want to know what that material is made out of. And I've looked for reviews and no one can really tell me. The only thing that I've seen is the guy like smack it a few times and it took it. So I just want to know how durable it is, because if I want to play with the thing, then I want to make sure it's not like going to break, you know, because it's probably
like a hard plastic.
It's like a soda bottle.
Maybe.
I don't know. But that being said, I don't think I would buy it. I don't think the technology's quite where I want it to be
Well, I'm definitely not a Star Wars fan. I don't think you're the biggest Star Wars fan out there.
No.
So it's not in your wheelhouse. Like, you bought a wand because those were fun. Because those are
the coolest things ever.
But duh. I think if you're a really...
And I can use those in the land.
Yes.
I can't use this in the land. They tell you no.
Yeah. Well, that's sad. But but I think if you are a big Star Wars fan and you're really into that,
yep.
you would love it.
I
think it would be a great experience. So it just depends on the person.
Shh, Thor. But I guess the only other question to go with that is, I mean, does what we saw in YouTube make it more reasonable, or do you want to buy that experience? Because at the end of the day, you are basically paying for an experience that not everybody gets.
Yes. Like I said, if I was a Star Wars fan, I think I would be willing to pay that amount to have the experience and have my own designed lightsaber.
But as a non-Star Wars fan... Are you interested in going through that experience?
I wouldn't pay the money to do it, no. Because it's not my thing.
My only drawback to it... Because after seeing it, I honestly don't feel like the $200 is that unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a good quality. It's made of metal. So it's a good quality... device, you get that one-on-one experience and it's very personalized, but I just don't know what I would do with it after.
Yeah.
Like that, I have that wand that we talked about, but I haven't really done anything with it. I'm going to use it now, like in July, but
yeah,
I haven't really done anything.
I guess hang it on the wall or something.
Yeah, but you know what'd be really cool about these wands actually, come to think of it, or anything that deals with RFID, if like they can enable it or partner with Target or something like crazy like that, that you could, or whatever place that you could actually walk around, not in the theme park setting, mm-hmm. and do stuff with it.
Well, I think like video games, like you should be able to like
Pokemon Go.
Yeah. Utilize your wand like in a video game. I think
that'd be cool.
Like how Wii works, like it would be your remote control.
That would be fun. I'd be all in on that.
Disney, I'm giving you all the ideas. All the time.
But I actually was pretty impressed by what I saw. I mean, the dialogue in the thing is kind of corny,
mm-hmm.
but for the kiddos, I think
for the kids, it's cool, but mostly we saw adults.
Well, hey, speaking of kids though, this is the last thing that we're going to talk about today. I saved it for last because I'm afraid to talk to you about it. So I read an article, it was on Inside the Magic, mm-hmm. talking about how young is too young to bring your child, or a child, if you want
to Disney.
If you want to take someone else's child and go. How young is too young to bring your child to Disney? Is there an age? ? For you.
Mm-hmm.
If so, what do you think it is?
So I think your situation always determines how young is too young.
Okay.
With us, if we had said child, and we own DVC, we've been to the parks numerous times.
Yes.
We're not novice Disney goers.
No.
I would say it doesn't really matter the age, because we can enjoy the park whenever. For the average person, we're Disney is a vacation. Like we're saving months and months and months to go to Disney.
Yeah.
I think your kid needs to be of the age to actually remember the trip. And I would say like our youngest nephew, about 5 or 6, would probably be the perfect age to take them.
Great. I'm glad you said all that. There is an age for me.
Okay.
It is not whenever, because in my opinion, we like going to Disney because it's fun. If I'm going there with like a 6-month-old, that's not going to be fun for anybody. The 6-month-old's going to be tortured, and we're going to be tortured by the 6-month-old. So I don't want to go there for mm-hmm. then. I would just say, hey, Grammy, here you go. Have my kid. See you later. And then go down to Disney. My specific age for us,
mm-hmm.
specifically for us, is 3 years old, because the kid can walk by that point. I want the kid to be able to walk and kind of talk.
Not much, though.
I don't think care.
Your expectations for a 3-year-old are very high. Oh,
good luck, buddy. That's what I got to say to that future child.
You're still going to have a stroller.
Yes. No, I'm still going to have a stroller, but the kid can walk. It can understand things. It can actually have a conversation with someone, you know?
So,
ish. But, like, future child would be able to, at least have some kind of comprehension as to what's going on. Mm-hmm. Whereas I don't, and be able to like last for more than an hour.
Yeah.
Before being.
No, I agree with you. I think like an infant is difficult in Disney for everybody involved. Right. Because it's just, it's loud. It's, there's a lot of sensory going on. Yeah. It's just a lot. And I think even for kids younger than like 5 or 6, it's a lot.
Well, but the other piece of it too, for me at least, and why I put 3 on there is because at that point you've had 3 years of Mickey buried into your brain. And you'll have some semblance of an idea as to who that is, Donald. Mm-hmm. Like, kind of know who the characters are a little bit. So that way, when you go, you actually, there's some kind of experience for me as a parent with to see my child as with the person or the character that they enjoy watching at home.
I think when Jacob, my youngest cousin, I think he was about 3 the first time we took him to Disney. Yeah. I'll have to ask my aunt. It was either 2 or 3. And he does. He remembers some of the trip, which I think is funny because he was really little.
Right. I mean, I guess it depends on the development of the child too, because you can have a 3-year-old that really acts like a 6-year-old, as we've come to find out. So that would be my number, but give me some pros and cons of bringing a youngin', I guess.
Well, it just changes the dynamic of our trip, I think. I've never had to deal with it, so I can't give you the greatest pros and cons, but I think...
From what you've seen.
From what I've seen, I think strollers are a struggle because it's just so chaotic.
Yeah.
And you need to nap and... take time out during the day.
Right.
It just changes the dynamic of the trip.
Yeah. You gotta, things that you're used to going on, you may not necessarily get to.
Exactly. You can't go on certain rides.
But
it also has to work for whatever family is looking to go. Like if you have a 7-year-old and you just had a baby, like you want to go to Disney, so you're going to do that, and ride swap is going to be your main ammo that trip.
But unfortunately, you send the infant to the grandparents' house. I think that's the easiest way to go. Little Kenny's going down to Florida with us. Little Joey's going to the grandparents' house, you know?
Poor kid. But, well, that might be fun too, because then you can just have a fun trip with your 7-year-old and yourself. And the kid can stay home.
So let's paint a scenario then. You book a trip to Disney, right? And then the month later, you get pregnant. So then you have, say, a 6-month-old when it comes down to your trip.
I know people that this has happened to them.
Are you canceling the trip or are you going on the trip?
So for me personally, I'd probably cancel.
Okay.
But for people I know, and I know numerous people that this has happened
to.
You can't go to Disney.
Pissed.
Yeah. They were so mad. Well, not because they were pregnant, just because they planned this big extravagant trip and they were looking forward to like certain things and they couldn't enjoy them. I actually know 3 people that this has happened to.
Boy. Wow.
I know.
Jeez.
Yeah. Disney Brides group. But
shout out.
Yeah, one of them did cancel. Mm-hmm. 2 other ones did not cancel. And they did have a good time, but you just can't do as much. Just like Jen Tracker right now, you can't ride on certain rides. Like they've been doing a lot of different stuff on their vlogs because they have to. They can't enjoy they can't go on roller coasters together right now. So I think it just changes the dynamic of your trip, but it might be fun because you can do stuff that you wouldn't normally do in Disney.
Like bippity bobbity bootity.
Or like hang out at the hotels and enjoy hotel hopping and all the great food Disney has to offer.
Oh, we're going to do that now anyway. We don't need a kid to do that.
Yeah, but you can do different stuff. So
I
think it's good and bad. And it depends on your situation and kind of what you would want to do.
So if this was my first trip going to Disney in, say, 5 years, I probably wouldn't cancel the trip just because if it's been 5 years, I don't know when I would be going back.
Yeah, well, according to your stats, not for another 3 years.
Right, well, that math just confused me. It's a Sunday. But no, so I guess I would, if I hadn't been, say if this was my first time going to Disney in forever, I would still do it.
Yep.
If I go to Disney every other month, I'm probably not doing it. I'll probably
You'd hold
off. We'll just wait.
It depends.
Or I'd hire a nanny.
You could do that too.
Oh, that actually reminds me. So it's come to find out actually that Disney offers two types of childcare assistance. Mm-hmm. They either have the daycare.
Yeah.
Or you can have a private in-room daycare.
My mom did this to me way back when.
They've always done this?
Always.
I thought this was new.
Nope.
Wow.
It's been in existence for a very long time.
All right. So if you had to choose between one of those, which would you choose? The public, in-room setting with other children or a private?
Public.
Okay. I would choose the same just because I don't know how I would feel about a person in my room.
With my child alone.
With my child
alone. Yeah, you don't know.
Exactly.
A stranger.
At least with the other kids present, one, the child has people to play with, and two, they can kind of be held accountable.
Yeah.
So
no, I agree with you.
I thought that was new.
No,
I knew they had it for dogs. I just didn't.
It's been in existence for probably 20 plus years because when we went to Disney as a family, we had a babysitter in our hotel room.
Oh.
Yeah.
So what is it like?
I really don't remember.
Was it for you?
For me and my cousin.
Oh, yeah. So you weren't old enough to know.
No, I don't remember at all.
Darn. Maybe we'll get your mom on one day and she can tell us about it.
She can tell the experience.
All right.
Probably loved it.
Yeah, well.
They went to the Adventurers Club. I know that.
I thought that private in-room nanny was called Grandma, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, Grandma was at the Adventurers Club.
Oh, ooh, Pleasure Island. Anything else?
No, I think that is it.
Okay. So as always, this is the closing spiel for our shirts, everything like that. You can find that at shopwithbyt.com. That is all our Disney related shirts. If you like gondolas, we got a Guardians of the Gondola shirt up. We have new stuff coming for the 4th of July eventually. We'll talk about that later. If you like vlogs, we have one. You can search By Your Terms on YouTube. We have one each week. And if you like to put in a custom order for t-shirts, you can get that at buyyourterms.com. Did I forget anything?
You did not.
Yes. With that being said, we will see you next time.
Bye.